Sportsnet 650.
Well, let's talk about those Lightning and everything else around the National Hockey League with Dan Rosen from NHL.com and NHL Network. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining the show today, my friend.
How are you guys?
We're doing great. Well. For many years, I used to just call you as a producer, and now I get to chat with you. So it's kind of funny how things change in the media market over time. But speaking of these Tampa Bay Lightning, how exciting and fun has it been to watch this team that is now 5-1 on the season?
They're one of my favorite teams to watch. They really are. They're up and down. They play fast. It's not loose, but it's fast. They're exciting. I like the players on the team. I like the way they play. You love the chemistry that you see from Stamkos and Kucherov and Vlad Namestnikov. To have Tyler Johnson basically on your third line says a lot. I like the way John Cooper deploys them. I like the way he coaches. Hedman, watching him join the rush. This huge man joining the rush, skating, like a forward in his huge body is pretty remarkable. They're one of my favorite teams to watch, no doubt. And, Kucherov has been a tremendous story. And you guys were just talking about Stamkos, and it's interesting. I talked to Martin St. Louis for a story I did that ran yesterday on Nikita Kucherov and the chemistry he has with Steven Stamkos and St. Louis. And the hook was that both Stamkos and Kucherov brought up the fact that, for Stamkos, it's like he's playing with Marty St. Louis again. And Kucherov feels like he plays a lot of the way that St. Louis played. And he used to watch Stamkos and St. Louis play that way and would think along the same lines of what St. Louis was doing. He would think, hey, I would do the same thing. And Marty St. Louis said he loves watching the two of them play because it reminds him of watching himself or being himself playing with Steven Stamkos, and that Stamkos has become a very much a playmaker as much as he can be a shooter. And, I think he's got, 8 assists, and I think 6 of them are on Kucherov's 7 goals. So they're a fun team to watch, lots of different angles there. It's good that they're back after a tough injury-plagued season.
With Steven Stamkos, what it sort of reminds me of is Steve Yzerman. Remember sort of through his 20s, he was this high-scoring player, really dynamic. But then he had to sort of figure out, Scotty Bowman, he challenged him. He said, you got to be a more complete player. We need more out of you. You can't just worry about offense. Do you see any parallels there with Steven Stamkos and Yzerman? And can this Lightning team, considering how much talent they have, they have a Victor Hedman. He's not quite Nicklas Lidström, but he's fantastic. They got Sergachev with a lot of potential. Can you see some parallels here between what Steve Yzerman did as a player and now he's trying to get the Lightning to do as a team with the squad right now?
Well, yeah, certainly you can, with the style of play. I mean, the league is so different now than when Yzerman played, but you see certainly with style of play and the depth scoring that they have, there is comparisons there, absolutely, to the Detroit Red Wings. And the ability to win with any goalie, too, is another thing. We're seeing that Vasilevsky's the real deal, but so was Ben Bishop. And they're able to win now with Vasilevsky, and they obviously were able to win with Bishop. The difference with Stamkos and Yzerman, and I see your point, is that Stamkos didn't just have a lot of personal success, but a lot of team success, too. With Yzerman, they had to change the way that they played when Scotty Bowman got there. He piled up all these points, but they weren't a very good team. And then it was, you need to change. We need to be defensive-oriented. And his point total dropped, still a tremendous amount of points. His point total dropped. The team became better as a result, which is, something you don't always see. But the team certainly became better. With Stamkos, it's an understanding. It's a realization, I think, in his mind that he doesn't have to be what he once was with Tampa, which is the main go-to goal scorer, that Kucherov's the real deal, that he's got to feed the beast there, too, to get him his production, and he's capable of doing that. They have a great chemistry, and they work on it a lot, and I think a concern going into this season was the fact that both of them, because Kucherov came into the league as a pass-first guy, and Stamkos is becoming a playmaker, that both of them like to make a pass to set up the other guy, and would they be able to shoot enough? Would they shoot enough? And you're seeing it that they are shooting enough. They're getting the puck to the net. They're finding each other, but they're not afraid to take the shot. And I think that's been a real big key to their success, too. And don't discount Namestnikov on that line, too. Just fills it out. He's a bit of a playmaker himself, but he's a guy that's going to go get the puck. And I think he doesn't get a lot of credit, but, you know, he's the third guy, third wheel, definitely. But he deserves some credit for the success of that line as well.
Hey, Dan, I know the Calder Trophy is not handed out 2 weeks into the season, but some of the young guns here have really just stampeded out of the gate. I mean, Will Butcher, Clayton Keller, Sonny Milano. Which of these young stars are you most excited for this year?
Well, it's intriguing what a guy like Will Butcher has done.
Mm-hmm.
Fearless is the first word that comes to my mind when you speak of Will Butcher. Opportunity is another one. I mean, smart play by him to go to New Jersey. I mean, I know a lot of teams were looking at him, but he went to a team that had a real need for him that would put him in a position to succeed right away, give him ice time in a top four role, give him power play time, and you see the skill. And the Devils, we just talked about Tampa Bay, being a real fun team to watch. I'll tell you what, man, those Devils are a fun team to watch too. They are fast. The Devils are a mobile team right now. And that's something we have not seen in New Jersey for a long time, this ability that they have. They're fast. Keyshears looks terrific. Looks like he's ready to break out at any moment. Butcher on the back end looks good. Jesper Bratt has really looked, you know, solid there as well. They're a fun team to watch with a lot of young guys, too. So I keep my eye on them. But Butcher, to me, coming out of college, it's just a smart decision to go to a team that would need that service, need his services, and he looks very good right now.
Yeah, your Devils, they're 4-1 to start the year, first in their division. Dan, you tweeted something about an hour ago regarding Ian Cole, who of course suffered the scary injury, but man, you had this quote, and yeah, it's got me feeling a little squeamish. The feeling of them clipping away bone off my jaw is not a feeling I want to have again. And yet, Ian Cole, game time decision. What a warrior, hey?
Well, you know, what's the old saying, right? Hockey players, that's the way they are. I mean, there's a little bit of a crazy element to it. There's, a little bit of should they be. But, I mean, he's wearing a full face shield. He doesn't have any symptoms that would relate to a concussion. He didn't have a broken jaw. So if he feels like he can go, he's going to go. When he said that, I was squeamish too, and I asked him to clarify what it means, and he said it was inside his jaw, not outside his jaw, because his jaw didn't break, but the teeth, the bone, that structure for the, you know, the teeth or whatever it is, kind of shattered in his mouth, and they had to literally, what he said was like, take what looked like a nail clipper and pull it away, peel pieces away from it. I said, did they numb it? He goes, oh, yeah, they numbed it, because if they didn't, it would be complete agony. But he's got more dental work to do. It was there. I was at that game in Pittsburgh when he got hit. That was not a pretty scene, a very dangerous scene. And interestingly, Ian Cole said, look, he goes down and he blocks about 200 shots a year, and he's never taken one in the face. And he almost – it was like – basically saying like it was bound to happen. It was going to happen eventually, and so it finally did. You know, that's his job, though, to dive in front of those pucks. And, you know, and he said he's had Ovechkin shots whiz past him, just miss him, but Roman Josi's square in the face.
Oh, man, that's just tough. We're talking to Dan Rose on NHL.com and NHL Network here on Sportsnet 650. Speaking of the team that the Pittsburgh Penguins are playing tonight, it is the New York Rangers. You know the Rangers well. They are only 1-5 on the season so far. And there's already some angst within Rangers fans with sort of the start they've gotten off to. What's the biggest problem for the Rangers right now to start the season?
Well, I mean, there's been angst with Ranger fans for a long time.
Yeah.
they've wanted Alain Vigneault gone for a long time, and all the guy has done is taken the team to the playoffs. So.
It sounds a lot like what Vigneault was sort of treated to in Vancouver for a long time.
You guys know a little bit about that, I'm sure. What's wrong with the Rangers is a pretty it's a big question, the answer is nothing specifically is bad. But nothing, they're not doing anything well, right? They're not really poor in any area, but they're just not playing well in any area. At first couple of games, you could say the power play was, that's where you could hang your hat on. The power play was good. Well, it's 0 for 7 in the last two games, and they're not generating the same looks between Shattenkirk and Zibanejad as they were generating. You know, when they get the puck in the zone on a clean entry, they rim it around. They're not winning the battle on the board to keep it in the zone. The defensemen, they're not pinching into the zone to create chaos for the opposition and create offense that way. They're just, it's kind of, you know, they're not going to the net. Chris Kreider has sort of been, you know, invisible. He just had, you know, missing in action while right in front of your face. They're just not doing a lot of what hockey players and coaches refer to as the simple things that make a difference, the little things that make a difference. We haven't seen them do any of those things. And I was talking to JT Miller about this yesterday, and he's basically saying, like, we're kind of hoping the puck comes to us and hoping it creates an odd man rush that way. And they're not playing hard in the areas where they need to play hard. It's not an effort thing. It's a matter of an intelligent thing too, and doing the right things and doing the smart things. And it's really hurting them at this point because there's nothing going right for them. There's nothing going terribly wrong, but it's just nothing's going right. And that's how you get to 1-5.
Yeah, it's not, but it's so early in the season, right? I mean, usually the litmus test is how good do you look 20 games in, but
it gets old. Yeah. It gets late quick.
Yeah, it
does.
In
the NHL with the parity. I mean, they need to win 4 games to get to 500.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the other thing with the Rangers that they never do, and they didn't do it last year either, they don't get games to overtime. Mm-hmm. They don't get the 1-point game either. You know, if they had gotten 2 of these 5 losses into overtime, you're looking at a bit of a different story. It's still not good, but it's a little bit of a different story. They're losing in regulation. Close games, except for the Toronto game, but they're losing them in regulation, and they aren't starting well either, and that's the other issue they're having. They're having real tough starts.
Yeah, and you know, the patience will run out really quick if the Rangers are not good by the time Christmas rolls around. I think they might be in trouble. At least Elaine Vigneault might be.
But if it's that long, yeah, there could be some serious trouble here. Certainly.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we let you go, one final question here. It is on Ottawa Senators. They're off to a great start without Erik Karlsson, but Erik Karlsson returns tonight when the Canucks visit the nation's capital against the Senators. What do you expect to see, considering he is the bionic man now? He's missing sort of half his ankle. He's got a different ankle going. I mean, what can we expect from Erik Karlsson?
I got to be honest with you, and I don't think anybody's talking about this, but I don't know. Because I don't even think that Erik Karlsson knows. You want to expect Erik Karlsson to be Erik Karlsson. But is he going to be the same player? This was a major surgery that he had in an area of his body that he relies on tremendously to play the game that he plays. Is he going to have the same speed? Is he going to have the same mobility? Can he jump up in the play as fast as he's done in the past? I want to say yes, because like you said, he's sort of like the bionic man now, but I think we got to see it. Mm-hmm. And it won't be surprising if we see it, because if we know his talent, but at the same time, I think there should be some level of uncertainty around that, because this was a major, major injury and a major surgery.
Absolutely. Hey, Dan Rosen, NHL.com, NHL Network. Great stuff as always. Hopefully we'll get you on again soon, all right, my friend?
All right. You got it, guys.
Sportsnet 650.